We come back to our Road to Completion series after our break over the last couple of weeks because of Easter. So I thought we'd just start with a recap, and that's probably a good thing as well because there's some people here this morning that are visitors. So we're going to start with a quick recap where we've been. So Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul around AD 62 whilst he was under arrest, house arrest in Rome. Now, Paul had first established the church in Philippi during his second ministry journey as a result of a vision that he received that calling him to go to Macedonia. And on that way to Macedonia, he came and he founded the church in Philippi. You want to read more about that? That's in Acts chapter 16. And so unlike most of the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, often he involved him telling the believers what they were doing wrong and trying to encourage them to change. This letter is actually one more of personal thanks and love because of the support that the church in Philippi were showing him to his missionary work. And they did that through finances, and they did that through praying. How many of us know that praying for people is a really important thing to do? And basically, they even sent one of their leaders, which we're going to look at a bit more this morning, to go and help tend to Paul's needs whilst he was in prison. Now, this letter is full of encouragement for believers to continue what they started, to live out their faith for Christ in an effective way, even though they were being persecuted because of that very faith that they were seeking to show and share. And they were seeking, basically starting, and what Paul was challenged them to do was seeking for them to become more like Christ so that they might be complete. God challenges us this morning and on this whole journey is that we want to become more like Christ so that we will be complete. So this letter to the church in Philippi is really relevant for us even in 2024. It's why it's in our Bible. If it's in our Bible, it's important. It's got something to teach us. Now, we're all on this journey, like the church in Philippi, to become more like Jesus. Now, the road to completion is a journey that will have ups and downs. There will be moments when we feel triumphant, moments when we think we're getting this right. God feels really close, I'm doing things, I'm shaping, I'm being changed. And then there's other moments, perhaps, when we feel like we want to give up. But Paul reminds us in this letter about the importance of running our race with perseverance. We'll be looking at that over the next couple of weeks in chapter 3. And to keep our eyes focused on this Jesus that we claim to love. So far in our series through chapters 1 to 2, we've discovered the importance of understanding our value in Christ. Believing God will finish what he started in you. Challenge to seek to abound in love, knowledge and discernment. To understand and to use the power of the gospel and the story that you have to tell to see people's lives changed. Then we looked at what it means at the beginning of chapter 2, living a life worthy of Christ in action as well as words, having the mindset of Christ and the obedience that we need to have to Christ above all, which is what we looked at just before Easter. So if you want to catch up with any of those last 6-7 weeks that we've done, they're all on our website under our media section. All 7 of those should be there for you to catch up or look back over in your own time if you wish to do so. So this morning we continue that journey and we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 2 and the last few verses. Starting from verse 19. It says these words, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think It's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for me, for make up for the help you could not give me. May God bless his word to our hearts as we dig that little bit deeper this morning into this wonderful text. So in today's message, we are introduced to two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And at first glance, this passage seems that it's just Paul letting the church in Philippi know that these two men will soon be with them. You kind of think, well, is that really that interesting? Is that really that important? Is it just a piece of information one might mention in the middle or at the end of a letter just to let someone know what's happening? It seems perhaps even a little bit random. That is until we understand that nothing in God's word is random. Put there by accident, it has a purpose to teach us something. If you look back earlier in the chapter of chapter 2, verses 6 to 11, we see a breakdown of what it means to be like Christ. What it means to be a servant, what it means to be obedient, to put others before ourselves. To be an example, and an example for us to follow. So then we're introduced to Timothy and Epaphroditus, and we're going to see actually how they are actually doing the exact things that Paul was talking about earlier in the chapter. And we're going to see, what does that mean for us? What should that mean that we do? So let's look at verse 19, and we're going to start with Timothy. So Timothy, verse 19 says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. The first question we need to ask ourselves, because sometimes we need to ask ourselves questions about Scripture. What does it mean? We don't just take it as being, oh, what does it mean? That could mean something else. What does it mean? Who is this Timothy fellow that we're talking about? Well, Paul first mentions Timothy at the beginning of Philippians 1, verse 1, when he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. So we know that Timothy is one of Paul's fellow workers in the gospel. He was with Paul when the Philippian church was first established. So the believers would have known him well. So when they mentioned Timothy, they're like, oh yeah, Timothy. I know Timothy. And so the first part of verse 19 says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. What's Paul kind of saying here? Well, Paul has an idea of wanting to send Timothy to the church in Philippi. He believes that it will be beneficial to the church. But ultimately, what he's saying is, it's not what he wants, but is it what God wants? Is it what God wants for him that Timothy ends up going? Now, he thinks it's beneficial. He's kind of aiming that way. But is it going to be what God wants? And so he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. See, everything Paul does, and perhaps what we should do, revolves around what God says, not what he feels. Acts 16, verse 6 to 10, you will see an example where Paul is on a missionary journey, and he's believing that he should go to Bithynia, I think that's what it's called, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to go in, and then he has the vision of Macedonia and ends up going to Macedonia. You see, sometimes we have ideas of what we think is right, and God has other ideas about what actually is right. And so we need to be in a place where we're willing to say, if it's God's will, I will do that. But if not, God, show me what I need to do. I wonder this morning, how often do you involve Jesus in your decisions? Would you say it's just in the bigger ones, perhaps moving house or a job, or who to marry, or when to have kids? Or would you involve him in the smaller parts of your day, in the day-to-day conversations and the little decisions? Or do you not involve him at all? Do you kind of just go Monday to Saturday, just living how you want, and then Sunday you come, and then you just kind of give your worship, you do those things? Has it become kind of a religious thing that you just turn up at church? Because we need to be a people that involve God in everything. God wants to be involved even in the smallest details of your life. The question is, will you let him? Will you be willing to give up what you think if God says something different? If God, you say, I want to go and do that, and God says, actually, I want you to do the opposite, I want you to go in that direction. Will you do what he says? It goes on in verse 19 to say that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. So Paul's thought behind sending Timothy to the church in Philippi, if God allows, as we've just said, was twofold. Firstly, it was for Timothy to bring encouragement to the church in Philippi to keep persevering and to keep fighting the good fight of faith against the backdrop of persecution. Paul was sending him to say, look, here, he's going to speak on behalf of me, and we're going to bring some news to you and to try and encourage you. Secondly, he would send Timothy to catch up with the church to find out how they were doing, with the expectation that he, Paul, in prison, will be cheered by the stories that will be shared with him by Timothy on his return. And in turn, that would help him as he continued under house arrest. Being in prison was not a nice thing. Being in prison at any part of history, even in today or wherever, is not a nice thing. So he wanted to be encouraged, because as we know, that Paul was in prison for the sake of the gospel. He wasn't there because he'd done anything wrong. He was there because he'd tell people about Jesus. So he wanted to be encouraged that the church in Philippi was still standing strong. They had a really special bond, as we saw in the previous chapter. They'd been there for each other in the moments of crisis. They brought joy to each other. And he was confident that the report that he received would be the same in those days ahead. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 puts it like this. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Are you encouraging people in their faith journey? Are we encouraging one another? Do we feel encouraged? Who do you have in your life who you share your life with? Who do you have you celebrate your triumphs with? Who you know will pray for you when things are tough? Who will have your back? You have their back, they have yours. And they encourage you, and you encourage them, and you build each other up. Do you have someone like that? I'm not just saying a spouse, that's a good thing, to have a spouse if you've got a godly spouse that can encourage you with that, but I'm talking about friends as well. People who will challenge you, people that will inspire you. I have a couple of guys like that in my life that I know that I can talk to about life. Because sometimes it's rubbish. Sometimes life is rubbish hard. But sometimes it's triumphant too. It's great, you can see it. But sometimes you need people that are just going to be there with you, walking with you through the tough times as well as the good times. If you don't have someone this morning, Paul had that, someone had the Philippian church, he also had Timothy. If you don't have someone like that, start asking God to bring someone into your life who will be that very person. Because sometimes it's hard to find the right people. But when we pray for it, God does bring those right people. Verse 20 to 21 says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So these are next two verses. Paul wanted to send the best person at his disposal to the church in Philippi. Timothy was Paul's right-hand man, and that was actually integral in Paul's life and his ministry. Yet, he would happily release Timothy for a season because of his love for the church in Philippi. He said, yeah, I want him to go. He'll be an encouragement to you. Even though I'll miss having him, he'll be an encouragement to you, and that's what it's about. There is a challenge that goes on for many of us in this life. And it's the challenge, it's a versus situation. People who have their own interests versus genuine interest in others. It's the biggest battle, one of the biggest battles we face. Do we look to our own self because of our needs, or do we look to the needs of others and therefore put them first? Biggest challenge that we face. Timothy was seen as the ideal person to send to Philippi to encourage believers because he had a genuine interest for other people. Simply put, he had a pastoral heart where his interest in others was not faked, but was genuine. He cared deeply, willingly putting others before himself. Now you would think, wouldn't you, that most believers would be like that, that they would put others first before themselves. But let me tell you something, sadly, that is not always the case. Other people don't always put other people's interests before our own. Why? Because we live in a world where everybody says, put your own interests first, don't worry about anybody else. It's going against the world's standards. God is calling us to a different way of living. Not everyone is like Timothy. In fact, many, as we said, look out for themselves. What can I get from this? How will it further my progression and my influence if I do actually help somebody else? Timothy did it for Christ's sake, to further the gospel and build his kingdom. In doing that, he followed in Christ's footsteps. You'll know these words well that Jesus speaks in Matthew 10, verse 45. He says this of himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." If we want to be a people then this morning, folks, I'd say, to become more like Christ, then we need to show genuine interest and care for others. It should be something that we naturally do as believers. Because as we show concern for others, we're actually showing concern for Christ. Did you know that? That as you show concern genuinely for others, you show it for Christ. And on the flip side of that, it's a little bit more, if you do not show concern for others genuinely, then you're not showing any concern for Christ whatsoever. Massive challenge. Massive kind of like, what am I doing then? Am I doing what God said to me to do? You'll know these words I said from Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40. This is what Jesus said about this very thing. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and you give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me." When we show genuine love and care and encouragement for others, you're doing it for Jesus himself. When we choose to ignore other people's needs, we're not honouring to God, are we? Little illustration, very quick. Yesterday I had a phone call, just come back from being in London the day before. I had a message on my phone. It was somebody, after a long day the night before, someone rang the church phone saying, "Can you do some food for me?" Because we got for a neighbour of mine, there's a situation dying. First thing in my head, if I'm honest, I've had a long day. I'd rather not. I'll just, it's my day off, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, no, I need to do this. We've had some stuff in that people have given recently. I went and got it. went and took it to the person. They were so thankful. It wasn't much, it was what we had, but he was so thankful. I honoured God in doing those that moment, genuinely caring for somebody, going, actually, no, their need is bigger than mine. I can come home and have my lunch in 5 minutes. Genuine love, I know I'm genuinely caring for someone. If I put my own needs first, I thought, oh, you know what? Ask somebody else. Ask someone else in another church. There's plenty of churches around. Then, you know, am I really showing love for Christ? Well, no, as it just says in this verse, well, not really, am I? There's plenty of situations like that that happen on a daily basis. I'm not saying that I always get it right either. Don't get me wrong. Don't always get it right. There are moments where I make the wrong decision. But it's really important, isn't it, even in those little situations. How are we going to apply ourselves? Are we going to put the genuine interests of others before our own? Verse 22, but you know that Timothy himself has proved himself because as a son with his father, he served me in the work of the gospel. Not that it was needed, but in these next couple of verses, Paul explains why Timothy's visit to the Philippian church would be so beneficial to them. Paul says that Timothy has proved himself. Paul had seen him develop from a young man who was once timid in faith. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, the letters from Paul, funnily enough, are to Timothy. The very Timothy that is talked about in Philippians. And one of the verses that it says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this to Timothy. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Timothy was a little bit timid in his young years. Paul was trying to encourage him to be strong and to be a person that knowing the power that he had inside him. That's how Timothy started. But now, Paul talking to the church in Philippi, he's now saying that this young man who was once timid in faith is now a man full of grace, of wisdom, who became a partner in the gospel. You see, Timothy didn't just say the right things, he lived them. Paul uses the analogy of a son with the father to describe their partnership. In biblical times, a son would often follow in the footsteps of his father's trade, a carpenter, a tent maker, a fisherman, perhaps. He would learn all the skills needed to be successful. Then his father would ask him to join with him in the business as a partner. That they had equal rights, you know, even though the dad was older, they had equal rights. He saw the value. And so Paul was saying that, you know, Timothy has learned along just like he would learn that a son would learn with his father, and now he's ready and he's fully together and he is great and he's a partner in the gospel. When he comes to you, you need to listen to him. Paul had taken Timothy, as we say, under his wing. He mentored him, allowing him to develop in preaching, pastoral care and evangelism. And now he saw him grow into a mature man. And it was an equal partner. And Paul was again willing to release this very person who was so important and integral to his own ministry to let him minister to the Philippian church because he loved them. He had a genuine interest for them. Verse 23, I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. Now, Paul again is reiterating that he hopes to send Timothy soon. Once he knows how things are shaping up for him. We know Paul's in prison. And it's likely that some issue had arisen that he needed Timothy's help for before he could release him. Now this issue could have well been something to do with his upcoming trial and whether he'd be condemned or acquitted. Either way, whether in his release or his death, Paul would believe that Timothy would soon be with them. He was wanting that to happen. He thought it would be beneficial. It was down to God and what would happen. But he wanted to reiterate it again. Verse 24. Are you still with me? Good, good. Verse 24. And I'm confident in the Lord that I will be with you soon. Although Paul is preparing to send Timothy to the church in Philippi ASAP, he's looking forward himself to the day when he'll be able to be reunited with the brothers and sisters in Philippi. Paul is confident that this will happen soon. Not because he has any confidence in his own abilities. Let's remind ourselves, and we'll be reminded, but he's
actually in prison. He's actually
under house guard. It's not looking quite that good right now. It's not like he can escape prison and run away. He's believing, he's having to have faith. He's confident in God that he can do the impossible. If God wanted him out, no prison chains, no Roman governor, no false witness can stop God's plans. There's nothing that can stop God when it's God's timing and it's what he wants to happen for a person. Now, I know this morning that there are people amongst us, I'm sure, who are facing seemingly impossible situations. There are health issues. There are relational breakdowns. There are financial troubles. Sometimes there may be people struggling with kids and with life. These situations perhaps have slowly but surely stripped us of joy. But I believe God will want to remind us today. And if this is not for you today, this will be maybe potentially for you in the future, because you will face a moment like this. That regardless of how you feel about your situation, God is still on the throne today. Amen? There is nothing that's too difficult for your God. He works on a different schedule to us. Sometimes it feels like he works in a different time zone and a different everything. He's outside of fantasy. He knows what he's doing. Sometimes, though, we struggle, don't we? We're like, you want it now? What are you doing, God? Where are you? He's there. But we've got to be confident that he will work all things for our good. All that God requires of us is that you put your faith in him and let him do the rest. I was reading this morning in my own devotions, Hebrews chapter 11. You know, that's a great chapter. It's about faith. Believing in that which you can't see. And it goes through all the different people that were believing by faith, and some of them didn't even get to see him. But they trusted God that he knew what was best. Will you have faith this morning? Will you have faith? Will you believe that he can do the impossible? Paul didn't know if he'd be released or put to death, but he had confidence that God would do the miraculous. I guess the question is, do you believe that God can do that for you too? I can't answer that for you, because that is your own personal decision and thought processes. But I want to encourage you, keep the faith, keep persevering, whatever you might be facing right now. Now I'm going to come on to the second person, Aphroditus. Verse 25 says, "But I think it's necessary to send back to you Aphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs." Paul introduces us then to the second person, Aphroditus, who Paul is sending to the church in Philippi. And it gives us a different glimpse about what it means to live for Christ from a different kind of angle, a different person. So Paul lays out four words in verse 25 to describe Aphroditus and his characteristics that make him like Christ. And therefore, these would be good things, I would say, and would suggest that would be good for us to try and implement in our lives. The first word is brother. Paul calls him brother. Aphroditus was not just an acquaintance, but he was someone that Paul grew to class as the closest of friends. You and I, this morning, we're not created to do life on our own. We're created to share and do life together, to support one another, to laugh. It's good to laugh, isn't it? To be together to laugh, to cry, to empathize, to be there and to encourage. As Proverbs 17, verse 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." If Jesus surrounded himself with 12 close friends whom he did everything with, then we'd do well to do the same, to have people surrounding us. Friendships are there to be enjoyed. The truth is, life is lonely, and I would say less fulfilling if we're intent on being on our own. Or sometimes we find ourselves in those situations, don't we? When we don't have friends, and it might not even be any fault of our own. I went through a long time from the age of, well, it felt like a long time, from the age of 16 all the way through to my mid-20s, where everything seemed to be stripped away friendship-wise. Didn't have anybody
in church or at school.
And it's tough doing life on your own. You need good friends, good people around you. Secondly, Paul calls him a fellow worker. Paul saw Epaphroditus as someone who carried value in the kingdom of God as a fellow worker. He was a person who worked hard, who got stuck in. He was a servant of Christ who shared the good news of Jesus at every opportunity. As believers, we're all on the same side. Do you know that? It doesn't matter what church you go to. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, we're on the same side. We're there to build God's kingdom together. There shouldn't be any division between anybody. We are here and we should be encouraging one another. He was a servant of Christ who shared the good news of Jesus every opportunity. We might have different spheres of influence, but we have the same purpose. We're called to share the good news of Jesus, just as Epaphroditus and Paul were. Wherever we find ourselves, we need to keep God in the front and center of our minds. The job that we have as believers to tell people about Jesus, we need to keep that at the front and center, be encouraging one another, challenging one another to be the best we can be. Amen? Thirdly, fellow soldier. Epaphroditus showed his value of being a soldier for the sake of Christ. Being a Christian is not always easy, is it? The message of Jesus may be good news, but it also paints a target on your back that the enemy will try to take you out. There is a battle to be fought. We're in a war. It's dangerous to contemplate anything else. We therefore need to stand shoulder to shoulder against the enemy and his schemes. And we need to stand shoulder to shoulder with each other, supporting each other, fighting the good fight of faith. I love the illustration of, like, Roman soldiers were really good at being soldiers. I don't know if you've seen it before, but when they go into battle, they used to do, like, they used to huddle, they used to have shields on top, shield back, back side, shield right, shield left. They used to just walk into battle as one, as a unit. Nobody could get through their defences until they were ready to attack and to fight. We need to protect one another. We need to shield each other until God says it's ready, it's time to fight. And we do it in unison together. Fourthly, messenger. Epaphroditus was a leader in the church of Philippi and was chosen to represent So Epaphroditus was a leader in the church in Philippi and he was chosen by them to go to Paul, to tend to his needs, to take the financial support that they talked about, to take the well wishes, and to go there and to meet his needs. In the same way, you and I are representatives of Christ as we go into our workplaces, live our lives around the streets, as we attend church, spend time with family and friends. We have a name to uphold and a message of hope to spread that will point people to Jesus, not away from them. Epaphroditus was great for Paul. Met him at his need and was able to help him. We need to be messengers of Jesus to go and step into the breach and to be Jesus in the best way that we can. To lead people to Jesus, not away from them. So Paul believed the time was now right for Epaphroditus to go back to Philippi and to take with him this letter Paul had written. Verse 26 to 28 tells us why we are coming into land. We're not long now. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him and not on him only, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Although Epaphroditus had become valuable to Paul, he saw that the greater need was for him to go home and to be with the church in Philippi. Everything has its time and season. And sometimes the best thing to do is that we end things. One of the biggest challenges we have in life is recognizing when things have come to an end. It's not always easy to see, but staying in a job or a place because it's comfortable is not good for anybody. There are moments when God calls us to something new, and it's so much easier to stay where you're comfortable when you know everybody and know everything. But for those people that are left behind, if you stay in a job too long, if you stay in a place and a location too long, it can be difficult and it can cause more trouble down the line than if you just listen to what God said. Paul could see that Aphrodite had become homesick. He was longing to see the believers in Philippi and had become distressed that the church were worried for him because they'd heard he'd been ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him and healed him. And what comfort it is to know that God always looks out for his children. But Paul loved Aphrodite and wanted him and knew he was useful to him, but it was time for him to return and start his next chapter. He knew that for him to stay was not the right thing. Verse 28 then goes on, "Therefore I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again you may be glad and I may have less anxiety." Paul wanted the church in Philippi to once again be glad and filled with joy, knowing that one of their own was returning home, and this in turn would help Paul because keeping Aphrodite, however useful he was causing him anguish and anxiety, knowing that he was keeping him from where he truly needed to be. If Paul kept him and something had happened, he wouldn't have been able to live with himself. You see that Paul's heart again was for the church of Philippi, not for his own needs. Verse 29 to 30, the last couple of verses. "So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me." So in these last couple of verses of our passage today, Paul challenges the Philippi church to welcome Aphrodite back into the church family. First of all, he says, welcome him back in the Lord. What does that mean? It means you need to welcome Aphrodite back into the church family as if you are welcoming God himself. When people come into church, perhaps people return to church, we want to be welcoming as if we're welcoming God himself. Churches should be a welcoming place. Should be a place where we gather knowing that people can come from the other side of the world, come inside and find home. You guys here are really great at that. That's something over the last 7 years of being here that I've noticed, that anybody who comes through the door, you welcome them. That's a good thing, welcoming people in the Lord. With joy and honour, it's the second bit. Rejoice over what he's achieved for the sake of the gospel, Paul says. He did everything expected of him and more. Rightly tell him how proud you are. Give him respect. He risked his life for the sake of the gospel. And he deserves to be honoured for that. He was practically doing for Paul what the church had sent him to do and couldn't do themselves because they were so far away. He was meeting their needs, and as he was meeting their needs, he was bringing about the love that the church in Philippi, as you know, had sent in the first place. It's so important that we learn to value everyone in our church family. We have different personalities, characters, and gifts, but we all play an important part of God's family. Do everything you can to build up and honour one another. In public, when you're face to face, but just as importantly, in private. Because you might not think they don't know, but God knows what you really think and what you talk about when you get home. Build each other up in private and in public as well. As Romans 12 verse 10 challenges, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. And there's actually a different translation which I didn't actually write down, which says, keep outdoing each other in giving honour. I actually kind of like that even more. It's kind of like, oh, well, you honour them, I'm going to honour you even more. You know, because actually what you're doing is you're bringing honour to God as you do that, and you're seeing their value.
Secondly, we need to be a people like Aphrodite, willing to risk it all for the sake of the gospel. We live in a world where it's not as bad as other parts of the country, other parts of the world even, where people have perhaps been put into prison or been put to death for their faith in Jesus. But we cannot be guaranteed in this life, in this world that we live, that we were to face situations for standing up for Christ. As the world changes, as it's rapidly changing towards things that we don't even recognise, we cannot be sure that it will not affect us. So we need to be prepared and willing to do what it takes to risk it all for the sake of what you believe. Because scripture tells us there'll be some people that just compromise in the last days, who will give up what they know in order to fit in with the world around them. And God writes that and says that it's not the way that it should be. We need to stand strong to the end. So in conclusion, Aphrodite and Timothy were ordinary men who were living their lives as living sacrifices for the service of their Saviour. We do well to seek to do the same, to put others' needs before our own, to be brothers, to be fellow workers, soldiers and messengers, that as we do so, we become more like Christ as we continue along the journey to be Christ.